All right. Well, if you could turn your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Be jumping around a little bit here. Do something a little different. All right. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were a herd of many swine feeding in the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were sore afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means that he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man about whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done to thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this evening. Thank you for your perfect word. And just pray that you'd minister us here tonight. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And just pray that you'd be with all that goes on here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, a couple things here. It was just interesting. It was kind of I could have just read a few verses, but I want to kind of get the context, obviously, the whole thing. The Lord heals this man. One thing I found kind of unique, just a little side note, is in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do to thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." I mean, isn't that just like, it's not what I'm preaching or teaching on here, but isn't that just like a lost person? I mean, here they look at Christianity and they think it's a torment. They think it's the last thing I'd ever want to be is a Christian. I just want to keep on living my life. And here's this man possessed with a demon, and the demon say, "Don't torment me. Just let me be the way I am." Just kind of like a lost person. And yet here, a few verses later, the Lord heals him. He's sitting clothed in his right mind. A miracle has transpired there. But it just kind of struck me as that that's how people, unfortunately, many times view Christianity, is as if a torment or what they're going to lose out on instead of what they're doing to forgive them of their sins. But what I want to dwell on here for just a minute is verse 39. It says, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way. And said that first verse, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." Here's this man. He had a lot of zeal. And he was thankful for being healed of the demons. And he wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to go with him. But the Lord didn't let him. He says, "Go back and tell people what great things God has done for you." And I think that's a lot like us. I mean, most people, he's called a few people out of this church to be missionaries, but percentage-wise, not many. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to go and tell people what great things God has done for us. And that's the most important thing in the world, is our testimony. And, it's great and it's wonderful, and we need to answer people doctrinally and with Bible verses, but sometimes it's our testimony. They can't argue with that. Paul, in the book of Acts, 4 times gave his testimony. Before kings and the rulers, he gave his testimony. King Agrippa did really not know Scripture. And if he did start quoting Scripture, he might have, but nobody could argue with Paul's testimony, right? And so our testimony is extremely important. And I just want to talk about that a little bit tonight, is that our job is to testify. And I want to start out with, what is it that God did for us? And I think, you think back to when you were newly saved. If you got saved later in life, think of the excitement you had. And think of the zeal you had. And you just couldn't wait to say something to somebody. You didn't know really what you're saying, but you couldn't wait to say something. And why don't we have that now? We try to be bold and we try to witness, but do we have all the excitement of a new Christian? Of really realizing how great it is to be saved and what he saved us from. And sometimes we get so distanced from that, and that's good in a way, but another way, we kind of forget really where we were. And so I want to just point out a few things here about what God saved us from and some different things he did for us, just real simply. Won't be real long. And what I'd like to do afterwards here, if you'll kind of be thinking about this, is think about your own life. And think about what God has done for you. And maybe the Lord leads. We'll go that way. We'll see. And time allows. But maybe have a couple testimonies of what God has done for you in your life or how you got saved. But let's talk about some things here. Just kind of put us in remembrance. Because a lot of times, like I said, we go through the Christian life. And we're doing our best we can. And we kind of forget. And we lose that zeal. Turn back to Psalm with me. Chapter 40. And the first thing that he did, obviously, was save us. And, just me personally, I pray kind of a lot, just as saying a simple thing, God, Lord, thank you for saving me. I don't mean to be redundant, and sometimes I get, I think, well, it is kind of redundant, but I really, really, really mean it. And so then I kind of elaborate my heart to the Lord and say, thankful for what he saved me from, but I am just grateful to be saved. I am so thankful. I love this chapter here. Psalm 40, verse 2. He says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You just think about the first couple verses there. He took us up out of a horrible pit. We were so far in a pit, we didn't even know it. We're a heartbeat away from hell. And some of us had deeper pits than others. For some of us, life was going good, and some not so good. Whatever the case was, in reality, spiritually, we were in a horrible, miry pit. And the Lord, we turn to Jesus Christ, and the Lord picks us up and puts our feet upon a rock. Clay is nasty. I mean, it took me out of the miry clay. Daniel, we know about clay, right? Out in Medina, it's clay out there. And in one time, we're digging footings, and it's raining, and it's clay. And it was so slippery, you couldn't do anything. You can't grab the post hole digger. You can't wipe in the grass. The grass is wet. Fully clayed up hands, just wipe them on your clothes so you can get enough off to grab the thing. The clay's nasty. He took us up out of that pit, out of the miry clay, and put our feet upon a rock. We're clean, we're dry, we're on the rock. And established my goings. Did you really, before you're saved, have a real definite, real meaningful plan for your life? I didn't. If there was any kind of plan and it was just a selfish plan, there's nothing, absolutely nothing spiritually related to it. But he established my goings. God gave us a new life. He gave us a plan. He gave us a course to follow, something eternal to do. He put a new song in my mouth. I'm so glad he put a new song in my mouth. I am so glad he put a new song in. I mean, our family's all saved and they put a new song in their lives. I can sit home at my desk and they're singing hymns and different things. It's a blessing. I'm so thankful he put a new song in my light mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is man that maketh the Lord his trust, and he respecteth not the proud, nor such turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. Why would God think about us? Us? A God so powerful that all he did is say, oh, he made the stars also. So holy that nobody can come in his presence unless we have washed in the blood of the Lamb. And yet, he looks down, and you go to bed at night, and you got something troubling your heart, and you cry out to God, and there's a peace that passes all understanding that comes over you. That same God that's out there somewhere that made all the stars and knows all the hairs in your head and the sparrows and everything. He says, it's okay. It'll be all right. That's an amazing thing, people. Many are thy thoughts to us, which cannot be reckoned and ordered unto thee. If I should declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. And so it's just I like that verse. It's amazing. Think of John 1:12, of course. To as many as received him, to them give he power, become the sons of God. You know, everybody, not everybody, but, you know, people out there in the world wants to be associated with some important people and all this type of thing. Who cares? We accept that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and immediately the Creator of the universe is our Father. And we can cry out to Him as our Father. You know, I mean, He answered prayers before we were saved out of mercy and out of long-suffering, right? But He didn't have to. We weren't His children. But now we're His children. And we pray to Him, we ask Him things, and he hears us as His child. That's a blessing. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." What do we do when we talk to people on their doorstep? What's their answer? "Oh, I think I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven." "Well, I'm not sure. I don't care." He gave us a book that we can know for sure. It'd be one thing if He died for us, but another thing, He gave us this perfect book that we can know for sure where we go when we die. That's an amazing thing. He gave us that salvation. I think a lot of times when we first get saved, all that kind of comes on us all of a sudden. So we have that excitement, we have that zeal, and after a while, unfortunately, we get kind of used to it. We just get busy about our lives, and it's sad, but we need to reflect on those things. We need to think about what God did, and like to tell other people what great things God has done for us. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. I mean, you got to think. I remember just starting to like good music. That was such a blessing for me, you know. And I remember at that time, after I got saved, I was working nights. And I used to work down my little workroom at home, and I'd be late at night and be listening to WCTS. It used to be on FM, powerful. You can hear them at night. And so they play all the old hymns, you know. Well, I didn't know they'd been singing them for 100 years or more, 150 years. So I hear one, I think, "Oh, we sing that one at church." Because I'd never heard it in Lutheran church. "Oh, we sing that one too." I remember just having a good time hearing all these songs we sing at church, because they sing them too, and people have been singing them for centuries. But that was a blessing. Put a new song in my heart. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. What else did He do for us? He gave us some knowledge and wisdom. It says there in Isaiah 28, verse 10, "For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to His people." And that's what He did for us. I mean, we got saved, and it was a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. We kept learning. First time through, you read your Bible, you picked up some things, you learned some things, and got established in your faith, and saw some neat things, and get some highlighted some things, underlined them. And you read through again, there's more. You read through again, there's more. And that's the goodness of God, that He keeps showing us things and we keep learning things. We get, if we're trying to know more knowledge about Him, more godly wisdom, that sort of thing. Turn over to James chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17 in James. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy." Now, all that the world does is they want to seek after wisdom, right? And they want to seek after wisdom and knowledge. And if you don't, a four-year degree is enough. You need to go to 6 years or 8 years. Then maybe take some night courses, right? And it's all the wisdom of this world. I mean, if yes, you need to go to school and learn to be a doctor, a dentist, or whatever it might be. But beyond that, that's really not why they go in a lot of times. They just want to learn worldly wisdom. And their wisdom is not from above. Their wisdom is not pure. All you have to do is turn on the news and find out how pure their wisdom is. It is definitely not peaceable. It has not brought a whole lot of peace in this world. It is definitely not gentle. It's not easy being entreated. And it's not full of mercy. It's not any good fruits in it, right? But God gave us wisdom that if we follow Him, that we can have pure and gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, right? So he gave us some wisdom. He gave us a way to guide our lives so we have some wisdom and some guidance. And before that, like I said, before I was saved, I thought I knew what I was doing. Looking back, I didn't know what I was doing at all. But God gave me some wisdom and some direction and some purpose in my life. And I thank the Lord for that. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 12, it says, verse 11, I'm sorry. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it. But the word is not very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So he gave us a perfect word. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, I'm not sure how people go through and think that, you know, it's in the originals. It says right there, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. There is not a single fragment, a little piece of papyrus or birch bark, whatever they wrote on, animal skins, that is an original. It's copies of copies of copies of copies found in a cave somewhere. And it's not the originals anyway. Not only that, but he says, the Lord promised us, thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever. And it's not in heaven. It's right before our eyes. And that's a blessing. One, it's a blessing that he did that for us. The other thing is that he's given us the faith to believe that. And led a man up here 27 years ago that believed it and was able to instruct us in that way and teach us, and that we can have the certainty of God's words right in our hands. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. So just a few things about growth and faith in a Christian life. He's given us the knowledge and wisdom. He's given us a perfect Bible and the faith to believe it. That we can have the certainty that when we read something, that we know it's God's Word and there's no doubt about it. We don't need to go to a commentary to find out what it really says or back to the lexicon or any such thing as that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. See, again, we take that for granted. Yeah, I'm a Bible believer. Okay. You realize 98% of Christians don't do that. And their Bible study is all it is. Well, what does your version say? Well, mine says fornication. Well, mine doesn't say that, so I guess it's okay. What does yours say? What does yours say? That's all it is. We used to do that when I worked at Target downtown. We had a Bible study. And a lot of it, part of it was, what does your version say? Well, sooner or later you'll find one that says kind of what you want to say. Now you can have them all on your computer and just probably pick up, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and... yeah, that one looks good. Pick up Proverbs 1:7. Oh, we don't want fear, no. Oh, just feel good about God and everything will come your way. Yeah, I like that one. That's what our mouths do, you know. Paste that and make a plaque out of that one because it fits you better. But, you know, but we have the perfect Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Oh, let's go back a little bit. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, verse 9. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's a blessing. Such were some of you. Such were. You know, there's nothing good about glorying in the bad old days or anything like that, but sometimes you just need to look back and say, Lord, thank you, I'm not like that anymore. I remember a pastor preached a message a long time ago. I don't know the whole contents of it. I can't remember, but the theme it was is, I'm not what I should be, but by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. And something to that effect. Just, sometimes we can get discouraged with ourselves. We need to look back and say, well, thank the Lord, I'm not what I was. and the Lord has made me a new creature in Christ. We'll get that in a second. But I love that part. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Most of you could probably quote that, and the New Bible's changed this around too, of course. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's an amazing thing. We're a new creature in Christ. Not a new creation, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west, so our sins are from an old person. We're circumcised with circumcision, being without hands. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm so glad I'm not that old creature anymore. I am thank the Lord for that. And that's a blessing. Just a couple more things that, you know, He gave us the knowledge and wisdom. He gave us a perfect Bible. He changed us, gave us a new person. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6. And this is by no means exhaustive or anything. Obviously, I'm just touching on a few things, and maybe sometime you can let your mind wander a little bit and think on some of these and help us be more thankful for what He did for us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And, you know, we look at that verse, and rightfully so. It's talking about reaping, sowing and reaping, that if you, you know, do something bad, you're going to get in the neck, that sort of thing. That's true. That's half the verse, though. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. Verse 8. But he that soweth the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So if you do well, God allow you to reap for that. When will you reap? Is it all in heaven? Are all the rewards in heaven? Has God not done anything for us here? Of course He has. He's done all sorts of things for us here. He's given us peace and joy. He's given us a certainty of heaven. He's given us a chance to do something eternal. And that always strikes me, because everything I do in life other than spiritual things is temporal. Everything any of us do is temporal. But no matter what we do for God, you go out and you talk to somebody, you get somebody a track at the gas station, whatever it might be, that's eternal. You might lose your rewards for it, but if that person gets saved, he's always going to be saved. And there's nothing the devil can do to ever take that away. And to me, that's really comforting. That's really comforting. But He's given, if we sow to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Hasn't God given us, in your lives, things that we've reaped for what you have tried to be faithful in? Hasn't God done that for us? Our families, your friends, right? And He doesn't really have to, but He does. He's allowed many of us, many of you, opportunities to do things and make difference in people's lives and, you know, lead people to Christ and do the, you know, things like the Josiah Project and the Visitation and nursing home ministries and street ministry and all these different things that God has allowed us to do. He just didn't plop you down. He just didn't save you, give you any old Bible, you don't even believe it, give you a church where you really don't care if you live for God or not, just show up a few times a year, you're good, and then die and go to heaven and do nothing for Christ. That's not what He did for us. You know, much is given, much is required. He's given us so much more than that. Joseph here is what, just turned, what, 17? He's going over to Ukraine. He's going to experience and see things there than nobody else is because of his obedience to God. Because God touched his heart and he said yes. He didn't have to do that. I mean, God didn't have to touch his heart. God didn't have to make a way for him. But He provided us opportunities. You know what? I wonder how many opportunities in each of our lives God tries to provide, and sometimes we don't accept that. But in any case, that's not what it's about tonight. What's about is the goodness of God and how good God is. and that what he has done for us. And, you know, I think we all need to, and I tend to be sometimes an unthankful person. It's wrong of me, obviously, but I need to be more thankful. I think we all do. And think and reflect on what things God has done for us in this life. And go all the way back to that maniac that got healed. Christ says, you just go and tell people what great things God has done for you. And remember what God saved us from. And, you know, I tell the teens, I said, you know, because you got saved early in life, that is such a blessing. God still saved you from all those things. You just didn't have to partake in them. But he still saved you from all those things. So for a Brother Spurgeon or somebody like that to say, well, God saved me from all these, you know, sin and all these other, you know, wicked things. He saved all of us from all of those things. Because in our heart, we all could be led down that path under the right circumstances. But he saved us from that. Whether you actually partook in it or not, he still saved you from that. So that's a blessing. But let's close in prayer in just for a second here. We got some time, and maybe the Lord give you just a, you know, brief testimony or of what he did for you in your life or just how he got saved, whatever it might be. It might be a blessing. Lord, thank you for this opportunity again. Thank you for your word and all you've done for us. And I just pray maybe if you'd move in somebody's heart, and it doesn't have to be long or elaborate or well thought out, just some brief sentence, a few thoughts about what you did for them and a word to a testimony. And Lord, just thank you for saving our souls, and thank you for a good church to go to. Thank you for a perfect book and friends here that we can come and fellowship and be in a battle together, and that we can encourage one another, strengthen one another, and pray for one another. Thank you for these things, God. You just didn't leave us on the backside of the desert somewhere and with nothing. God, you give us all these things, and we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.